The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 17, text number 4, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 27th, 2015 at Bhaktivedanta Manor in London, England.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yajante Satvika Devan Yaksha Rakshansi Rajasa Pretan Bhutaganan Cha Anye Yajante Tamasa Jana Yajante Satvika Devan Raksha Rakshansi Rajasa Pretan Bhuta Gunanschanye Yajante Tamasa Jana Yajante Satvika Devan Raksha Rakshansi Rajasa Pretan Bhuta Gananschanye Yajante Tamasa Jana Yajante Worship Satvika Those who are in the mode of goodness Devan Demigods Yaksha Rakshansi Demons, Rajasa, those who are in the mode of passion, Vretan, spirits of the dead, Bhutaganan, ghosts, Cha, and Anye, others, Yajante, worship. Tamasa, in the mode of ignorance. Jana, people. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Men, in the mode of goodness, worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. Purport. In this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead describes different kinds of worshippers according to their external activities. According to scriptural injunctions, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipable. But those who are not very conversant with or faithful to these scriptural injunctions worship different objects according to their specific situations in the modes of material nature. Those who are situated in goodness generally worship the demigods. The demigods include Brahma, Shiva, and others such as Indra, Chandra, and the sun god. There are various demigods. Those in goodness worship a particular demigod for a particular purpose. Similarly, and those who are in the mode of passion worship the demons. We recall that during the Second World War, a man in Calcutta worshipped Hitler, because thanks to that war, he had amassed a large amount of wealth by dealing in the black market. Similarly, those in the modes of passion and ignorance generally select a powerful man to be God. They think that anyone can be worshipped as God and that the same results will be obtained. Now it is clearly described here. that those who are in the mode of passion worship and create such gods, and those who are in the mode of ignorance in darkness worship dead spirits. Sometimes people worship at the tomb of some dead man. Sexual service is also considered to be in the mode of darkness. Similarly, in remote villages in India, there are worshippers of ghosts. We have seen that in India, the lower class people sometimes go to the forest, and if they have knowledge that a ghost lives in a tree, they worship that tree and offer sacrifices. These different kinds of worship are not actually God worship. God worship is for persons who are transcendentally situated in pure goodness. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23, it is said, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. When a man is situated in pure goodness, he worships Vasudeva. The purport is that those who are completely purified of the material modes of nature and who are transcendentally situated can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonalists are supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness, and they worship five kinds of demigods. They worship the impersonal Vishnu form in the material world, which is known as the philosophized Vishnu. Vishnu is the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the impersonalists, because they do not ultimately believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, imagine that the Vishnu form is just another aspect of the impersonal Brahman. Similarly, they imagine that Lord Brahma is the impersonal form in the material mode of passion. Thus, they sometimes describe five kinds of gods that are worshipable. Because they think that the actual truth is impersonal Brahman, they dispose of all worshipable objects at the ultimate end. In the conclusion, the different qualities of the material modes of nature can be purified through association with persons who are of the transcendental nature. Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shimishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, we have been very much blessed by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astatarasadashishimadesi Bhakti Vadantati Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. With this knowledge of how to go beyond the material modes of nature, those who worship within the modes of material nature, they remain within the modes of material nature. So, the point is this. In order to get out of this quagmire of the modes of material nature, which keeps us going birth after birth after birth after birth after birth in this material world, requires the association of a person who was situated beyond the modes of material nature. This, in fact, is the concluding point of Prabhupada and his purport. If you will note the very last sentence, in conclusion, the different qualities of the material modes of nature can be purified through association with persons who are of the transcendental nature. Prabhupada's vision for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, was to be a society of such transcendental persons who are situated beyond the modes of material nature, who by their kindness, by their powerful words and their shining examples can help everyone in this material world out of their entanglement within the modes of nature. Prabhupada's vision was a spiritual revolution which would completely transform world history. So, we, the members of ISKCON, we have to do our duty. We have to get out of the influence of the modes of nature, so we can be these persons described here by Prabhupada. Persons who are of transcendental nature. This is our duty. We have to get free from ignorance. We have to get free from passion. We have to get free from goodness. We have to come to the platform of transcendental compassion for all living beings, to save them from their suffering in the material modes of nature. People say, well, there's so many churches, you know, so many temples and mosques, you're just another one of the churches on the block, you know. What's the difference? It's all the same. The difference is within the modes or beyond the modes. That's the difference. Now, if we ISKCONites remain within the modes of nature, then we're just another one of the churches on the block. So, it's not when the church is on the map. But if we actually do our duty given to us by Prabhupada, you understand, to come out of these modes, to come to the transcendental platform, then we can actually fulfill the real mission given to us by Prabhupada, to live in the whole world. He told us in L.A., you become perfect in understanding this science and deliver the whole world. This is our duty. The Prabhupada, we have to deliver the whole world. We have to bring about a complete transformation of the whole global society. That's our, not just to maintain our temples, you see. We have to completely transform the whole world. Then we're actually fulfilling the instruction given by Prabhupada. So how do we get the potency to do that? We have to come out of the influence of the modes. Ourselves. Otherwise, it's useless. It's hopeless. What good will your big buildings do? Is it? If the devotees are within the modes of nature, what good is a big building going to do? They won't do any. They won't have any impact. The real impact is when we have devotees who are situated beyond the modes of nature, who can give their association to the suffering people of this planet. That's how this movement will fulfill this mission. But what about someone like me who's completely caught up in the modes? What hope is there for me? How do I, what, you know? Your words sound very nice, one could say, but here I am caught up in the modes of nature. Even when it comes time to wake up from Mangalarti, I'm completely in the mode of ignorance. It's hard to get out of ignorance. Some devotees don't even get up from Mangalarti, is it? Because the tamagun influence is too powerful. So what if I'm a poor devotee who's caught up in the mode, you know, caught up in this mode, that mode. My whole day is just, you know, it's like a roller coaster ride in the three modes of nature. There's this mode, that mode, just going through the modes. Where do you think the word mood comes from? Modes. I'm really moody today. I mean, you're in the modes. You see? So how do you get out of the modes? That's the whole thing. How do we get out of the modes? That's what we have to figure out how to do. Well, I'm chanting 16 rounds. I'm initiated. I'm following the principles. Why am I still in the modes? One could ask. Why am I still in the modes of nature? What am I doing wrong? Well, have you checked out the 10 offenses lately? There's the key. Study those 10 offenses scrutinizingly and see where you stand. Because when you become offenseless in your chanting, that automatically puts you outside of the influence of the modes of nature. The problem is nam aparad. The nam aparads are keeping us within the modes. That's the whole key to understanding our entanglement right now in the modes. It's due to nam aparad, which includes Vaishnava aparad as the first of the nam aparads. So we that's the first thing I can do to see how to get out of the modes. How am I not being respectful to Vaishnavas? How am I being offensive towards Vaishnavas in all of my dealings? The senior ones, my superiors, my equals, and my juniors. How am I being offenseless in all of my relationships, in everything I do, everything I say? Is it? That's the first place to look. If you're still battling it out with the modes, that's the first place to look. What kind of relationships do you have, not only with devotees, but actually with every single living entity? And jiva aparad is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because actually every jiva is a devotee. It's just covered. What kind of relationships do I have? Even I may diplomatically always put up a nice show, but what's going on inside also? What do I think about these devotees? Even there you have to look. What kind of attitude do I have inside about these devotees? This devotee, that devotee? Am I truly appreciating all the devotees? You see? One has to look. Or am I thinking this one's no good, this one's a bum? You see? So that's a place to look. If you're battling it out with the modes of nature, if you're not situated beyond the modes 24/7, look at what sort of attitude you have towards devotees. And see if you have your attitude is proper towards all the devotees. And if it's not, well, that's good. You found a trouble spot. You can work on that trouble spot now and actually get more and more liberated from the influence of the modes of nature. Another place you can look is what sort of relationship do you have with, because there's many persons we have relationships. So what about the Supreme Person? What sort of relationship do you have with the Supreme Person? Well, I don't really associate with him. How can I say? Well, you are. Nama Prabhu is the Supreme Person. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What kind of relationship do you have with the Holy Name? You try to get it over, you try to get your time with Him over as fast as you can every day, get it over with. You kind of haphazardly chant Hare Krishna to get it finished. Or do you dive deep into the nectar of the Name? That, oh, now is my chance to associate with Krishna, now's my chance as we taste the nectar, what we were just talking upstairs. Krishna is the nectar. I see. Now you have your chance to actually have your own private meeting with Krishna himself. He was very busy dancing rasa dance. He is very busy on the battlefield of Kurukshetra speaking the Gita, and now he's giving you his undivided attention. Your own personal private darshan with Krishna every morning. Hopefully in the morning, ideally in the morning. So how are you taking advantage of it? You see, we can look there, you see. What kind of relationship do I have with Krishna's name? Do I go, oh, am I enlivened? Is my heart dancing in ecstasy as I pick up my japa beads? after japa. Is it doing that? Or is it, oh no, japa. I feel like sleeping, but you know, I want to do this, but I got to get my rounds done first. Let's be honest, you know. Take an honest look in there and see the dirt. See the dirt in there. You see? See the dirt. You say, well, I don't really want to look at the dirt. It's too scary, you know. It'll show me what a creep I really am, or a creepina, as we say in Sanskrit. In English slang, they say creep. I don't know about Britain, but in English slang, American slang, a creep. Is it really a creep? A creepina is the Sanskrit version. Original Sanskrit word. I don't want to see how much a creepina I really am, so I don't want to think about it too much. It'd be too depressing. No, be honest. Honestly, look at the dirt, you see? Because as soon as you live up to the fact of how contaminated you actually are, how dirty, how envious, how rascal you actually are, when you can really look and see it, admit it and say, okay, whew, all right. Now I know where my trouble spots are, where I have to work, you see? It's better to, if you're going to go to the doctor, you want a doctor who's going to tell you what's really wrong with you. Not, oh, my dear patient, thank you for your fee, your health is great, go home and have a great day. No. You want to, well, you have terminal cancer and you might be able to save yourself if you do this, this, this right now, starting today. That's the doctor you want, is it? So, why don't you take a very honest look at the reality. Is it? What is my actual relationship with Krishna right now? He's coming every day. How do I receive him? What is my attitude towards Krishna? Do I take it as the greatest blessing that I can utter these syllables, Krishna? Do I take it as the greatest blessing? Or do I take it as a botheration that I have to do because Prabhupada said, so in this way, if one very diligently takes up this pathway, fully answerable for every single dirty aspect of yourself, not trying to brush any of it under the carpet, be fully answerable for all of it, that will actually bring you beyond the modes of nature into that transcendental realm, where Krishna is present at every minute, as we were discussing a few minutes ago. Prabhupada explains that when you become a pure chanter of the holy name of the Lord, you actually enter, you actually enter into the spiritual world, and you're only apparently in this material world. That's what he says in one place. In the Bhagavatam purport, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, he also talks about what happens to a person who becomes an offenseless chanter of the holy names. Prabhupada explains he becomes Jagad Guru. And under his influence, the whole world takes up Krishna consciousness. So this is the caliber of devotees we want in ISKCON. We want offenseless chanters of the holy names. This is how we can actually deliver the whole world. If our ISKCON members will become offenseless chanters of the names of Krishna, we can actually take over the world, culturally take over the whole world in a very short time. Don't forget, the smallest action can change the entire world. It works both ways. Just like one day, some stupid kid, he said something very offensive about a great personality. And what was the result? Kali Yuga. Sringi, cursed Maharaj Pariksit. Without one little act of one little kid, the whole Kali Yuga came in. You see? A very small action completely changed the whole world. So it works the other way too. A small action can change the whole world. Of course, that action was already done. The Panchatattva did a kirtan in Navadvip, which is delivering the whole universe. The action has already been done. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the ripple effect is still going on, but you can be a part of that ripple effect. You can amplify that ripple effect of that original Sankirtan in Navadvipa, which is actually, in fact, delivering the whole universe right now. You can speed it up. You can amplify it by taking purely to this Krishna consciousness movement. Purely taking Krishna consciousness as your only business. And you can amplify that ripple effect which is already going on and which was taken outside of India by Prabhupada, that ripple effect of that original Nama Sankirtan of the Panchatattva. You can amplify it, expand it. Prabhupada ordered us, actually, to expand that ripple. He said, I have done 10 times more than my Guru Maharaj, now you must do 10 times more than me. Now most of you here are grand disciples. That means you have to do 100 times more than Prabhupada. I'm supposed to do 10 times more than Prabhupada. That means my disciples have to do 10 times more than me. They have to do 100 times more than Prabhupada. You see? That's called the ripple effect. Ever-expanding ripple effect. So how can we do that? There's only one way, and that's you have to become a fenceless chanter of the holy name. That's the key. Chanting six, some say, well, is chanting 16 rounds and following the regulated principles, getting initiated, following the 16 rounds, chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulated principles, is that sufficient for going back to God? And the answer is no. You have to, all Prabhupada explains right there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you commit nam aparad, you go on chanting for millions of years and not go back to God. So, the formula is get initiated, 16 rounds, four principles, and avoid the 10 offenses. Prabhupada said in the initiation ceremony, the lecture should always include the 10 offenses. That's a standard thing that Prabhupada always did. I think all the gurus must, I know I always do that. Whenever I give initiation, I always speak on the 10 offenses. Because that is essential. You have to learn to chant without any offense. We have to master this art. How to chant offenselessly the name. Because that's the only way that we're going to get out of these modes of nature and come truly to the transcendental platform, the spiritual sky which is there within us, that we can enter into right now. The only block standing in the door are those nama parads. They're blocking the hallway. They're blocking the door. Those namaparads are blocking the door into the spiritual sky. So kick out the namaparads, you can go right through the door. You can enter right now into the spiritual world if you can simply throw away all those offenses. You can enter the spiritual world right now within your heart. So when that day will come, Bhaktivinoda is praying that way. Actually, he's already there, but he's showing us how we should pray. Kambe habe bolo se di nama. When oh when will that day be mine? Aparada guchi shudana me ruchi. Kripa bole habe hrido ye sanshar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing. When in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. When oh when will that day be mine? Well, if you're namaparadi like me, what to do? You just got to hanker for that day, you see. What can I do? I'm a Namaparati. I got so many offenses against the name. What can I do? Well, we can hanker for that day. That will help us to achieve it. You see, we can hanker for that day. When will I achieve that state of Shuddhanam, you see, pure name? When will that day come? We can hanker. Oh, when will that day come? You see, that hankering will help us to achieve it. Therefore, this song of Bhaktivinoda is very nice. In every verse, when will that day be mine? You see? So this is the mood of separation. Prabhupada encouraged. Actually, George took that up. My sweet Lord, it takes so long to see you, you see. I really want to be with you, but it takes so long. George took up that same mood in My Sweet Lord. Prabhupada said the Beatles should write songs of separation from Krishna. George took it up, you see. He took it up. I really want to be with you, but it takes so long, my Lord, you see. So this is the mood. Bhaktivinoda showed that. When will that day be mine? When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? When will that day be mine? So this way we hanker. You see, that will throw off the influence of the modes, enable us to become great transcendentalists. I mean, I was just amazed. Recently I heard Prabhupada explaining that Rupa Goswami only slept 1.5 hours a day, and that was it. He was so absorbed in his work. He was so energized. He was so enthused. He was so determined to bring about a spiritual revolution on this planet. He would only sleep 1.5 hours a day, if you can imagine. 1.5 hours a day, and that was it. It's not that he was like, you know, he would sleep. He was like trying to stay awake, you know, I got to sleep 1.5 hours a day because I'm Rupa Goswami, so I got to stay awake, I'm trying to do the right thing. No, he was just completely keen. He was totally absorbed. Sleep was like an enemy, practically. Because it wastes time. Actually, Prabhupada one time said that. He said, everything is kirtan. Kirtan is kirtan. Hearing is kirtan. Prasadam, taking prasadam is kirtan. I like that one. Everything is kirtan except for sleep, Prabhupada said. That is waste. Of course, sleep we have to do, but Rupa Goswami, 1.5 hours, and that was it, you see. 1.5 hours. I remember on one recording I heard when I was a brand new brahmachari, Prabhupada said, no eating and no sleeping, that is the perfection of spiritual life. So the more we can actually just become so absorbed in Krishna Katha, you know, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, distributing books, opening temples, flooding the planet with Krishna bhakti, you know, the more we can be absorbed in that rasa, sankirtan rasa is actually the highest rasa. It's the highest rasa, sankirtan rasa. Everybody talks about rasa, you see. But sankirtan rasa is the ultimate rasa. The ultimate rasa. Ultimate taste. Wanting to flood the entire universe with the prema tsunami, you see. That is the highest rasa. That's the mood of the gopis. That's the mood of Rupa Goswami. That's the mood of our great acharyas. They want to flood the world with Krishna consciousness. In fact, Prabhupada actually states that surrendering to Krishna, as Krishna says in the Gita, you know, sarva-dharman parityaja, that surrender to Krishna in this age takes the form of jati-deka tadikaha Krishna upadesha, preaching Krishna consciousness. So you want to surrender? Preach. Well, I don't feel like preaching. Well, then you're not surrendered. Because the duty in this age is preach. Spread this movement. That's what it means to surrender. Well, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, I'm kind of shy. I don't want to. No, you're not surrendered. surrender to Krishna in this age means you be in the mood of a spiritual revolutionary who wants to spread this movement to every person you meet as much as you possibly can. So anyway, there's some thoughts on this verse. Perhaps there's some questions. Anybody have any questions? Anybody have any challenges that I'm not speaking according to the parampara? You can point out an error I have made. Maybe, who knows, maybe I deviated. Maybe some of our learned pundits can point out some of my deviations from Siddhanta. If I made it, yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. It's a silly question, but you were talking about challenging your own mold by looking at your relationships with other people. That's what you said earlier, much earlier.
Help me understand with my hearing loss.
Yes.
My wife can amplify it. What is she saying, David?
Right. You were talking about questioning your own mold from your mood. Your relationship with other people. What exactly do you do then? You question your relationship
to get out of that mood. If you are in certain mode and you are questioning with the person, then how do you get out of that mode? You realize something.
How do you get out of which mode?
Yeah. How do you get out of that mode?
Which mode?
So when you're talking about jiva para,
you're different. You're in different modes. You can be in different modes all day. Moods. In other words, you were using moods as an example.
How do you get out of the modes of nature?
Modes of nature, yes, by questioning.
And in your daily business, on a daily basis.
Yeah, by questioning your relationship with other people.
What is the practical way of being mode free every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very simple. You have to have a really good morning program. You have to rise early and chant Hare Krishna.
Right.
Yeah, you rise early, take bath. Put some tilak on, and have a nice. We recommend everyone should have a little mangal arti. You can take a picture of Prabhupada and the picture of the deities here, and Radha Golakananda, yes, and Panchatattva. Have a little mangal arti every day at home, and you can then chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, read from Prabhupada's books, take some prasadam, and then you're ready to hit the beach with Krishna consciousness.
When you're questioning your relationship.
In relationships, yeah. In relationships, you have to always do what is beneficial for the Krishna consciousness of others.
Right.
Always think, what can I do to help this person be Krishna conscious? Just like even when I'm on the loan, I'm calling up some customer service at some company. They say, well, is there anything else I can do for you? I say, well, chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
Okay.
Even today at the hotel, the guy brought the luggage in, Michael. I said, at the end, I said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. I try to give Krishna wherever I can to everybody I meet. Even when I was working a job, I told this story before, but I was just an ordinary job, I was doing telesales for MCI Corporation, a big corporation at one time in the U.S. So, to get hired, I had, put a coat and tie, a tie and a shirt. I covered up my neck beads, to go in for the interview. Let my hair grow out a little, get hired. And, but then here I am going to work every day thinking, this is not me. No tilak. That's not me. I'm a tilak person. So one day I just said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to wear tilak to work. That's it. I had to wear tilak. I don't feel right if I don't have tilak on. I put more tilak to work. And that day I was so fired up. I was closing one sale, another sale, another sale. And my boss was so, and he gets a commission on my sale. He was like, wow, Mr. Bridge, my crime name is Bridge, like Bridge Posse. He said, Mr. Bridge, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on you must wear it every day. So, try to be as Krishna conscious as you can. And whatever, according to your situation. Another one of my godbrothers, he was working for Burroughs Corporation in Detroit. He would just put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk. And another worker came up, a boy named Randy. He came, "What is that on your desk?" He told him all about the book. And Randy, he is Ramiya Das, my godbrother. Because another godbrother put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk in his corporate office every day. So just do everything you can to tell people to spread Krishna consciousness, whatever way. Of course, you have to consider your job, and you have to work within the corporate atmosphere so you keep your position. But whatever you can do within the constraints and limits of, you know, the obvious requirements and limitations that are there placed by the material society, do as much as you possibly can to be a spiritual revolutionary 24 hours a day. And that will take you out of the modes immediately. You're always looking for an opportunity to preach. How can I share Krishna with others? That will take you out of Maya immediately, because there's nothing more enlivening, nothing that takes you out of the modes faster than preaching. That's why I'm traveling and preaching all over the world, because it keeps me out of Maya. That's why devotees get so addicted to book distribution, because they just feel so intoxicated being connected with Krishna and Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, intensely connected all day out there on book distribution. They get addicted. And my disciple from Denmark, he just wrote me, "Gurudev, I just want to do this my whole life. That's all I want to do, is distribute books my whole life," you see. Because there's so much nectar when you try to give Krishna to others. It immediately takes you out of the modes. So just think how you can make your family members Krishna conscious, your friends, your neighbors, and all your countrymen here. But what can I do to help this country become Krishna conscious? That will immediately take you out of the mud. Anything else? Yes. Which, all 10 of them?
Yeah, can you say, a little bit more about the significance of the avoiding the 10 offenses of Sudha Munine? And
the importance of it?
Yeah, a little bit more. And,
I already spoke about it at great length. Okay. There's something more I should, any specifically you wanted me to say about it, what aspect?
Yeah, and if we manage to really avoid these 10 offenses, we naturally become a really good
If you can avoid the 10 offenses, you're becoming a Paramahamsa. Prabhupada actually states in the Bhagavatam purport, if you chant offenselessly the holy name, you're actually living in the spiritual world. You actually regain your relationship with Krishna. That will take you all the way to prema. Now, you see, there's different stages. Shraddha or faith, associated in devotee, there's a bhajana kriya, getting initiated, there's a nartanaviti, where Prabhupada says you become 75% purified, then you go higher to nishta, then you go to ruchi, then you go to vasakti, bhava and prema. Actually, if you become an offenseless chanter of the holy name, totally offenseless, you've gone all the way to prema. Offenseless chanting of the holy name will give you everything. You'll actually realize your eternal identity with Krishna and his transcendental pastimes by offenseless chanting. Everything will come. Because you're associating with Krishna directly every day in his name. And all you have to do is purify your relationship with Krishna. And that will take you all the way to prema. You understand? Questions?
Process.
Can you amplify for me, David?
You don't chant without offense of the night, so while you're chanting, there's offense.
While the chanting, what?
How to avoid the offenses while chanting.
How to avoid the offenses while chanting? It's very simple. You just have to fall in love with the name. It's very simple. You have to realize Krishna's name is the ultimate nectar. the greatest benediction, the greatest boon, the greatest treasure, the greatest opulence, the greatest everything, the greatest adventure, the greatest sweetness, the greatest everything is right there in these two syllables, Krishna, which becomes even more powerful when you add it to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have to remind yourself, this is the ultimate benediction. It's bigger, it's better than even being given, you know, some big powerful position like Brahmaji or Lord of the whole universe. To have the name of Krishna is the greatest benediction you can achieve in millions and billions of lifetimes. So one realizes I have achieved something which is more valuable than anybody in the whole world possesses, except for this is more valuable than anything that one can possess within the material world. More valuable. So if you realize what you're dealing with, you are Krishna, has personally come to bless you with his association. Now open your heart to Krishna. Appreciate his presence. Show him you really love him. You really care about him. Show him you really appreciate him by the way you chant his name. And then it'll be an amazing experience. You see? Be an amazing experience. Wow, I never really knew what the chanting meant, and now I knew. Now I'm starting to realize what the chanting really mean. You see? It's very simple. Open your heart. Krishna has come to bless you. How do you receive him? How are you receiving him? He is personally coming to you. Are you opening your heart? Are you keeping yourself aloof from Krishna when you chant his name? Is your chanting cold and aloof, or is it warm and open-hearted? It's simple as that. Don't be cold and aloof. Be warm and open-hearted when Krishna comes. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You see? Be warm and open-hearted to Krishna when he comes. Your dearmost friend, whose association you've been missing for millions and billions of lifetimes, has now come to bless you with his association and take you back to your original position in his eternal pastimes. And you're saying, oh, wait, I'm not ready yet. I still want to enjoy the material world. Kick out all that kind of nonsense, okay? It's Krishna, here I am, I'm ready, just take me. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm ready. I'll do whatever you want. I give up all attachments. Now I have one attachment only, and that is to you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. In this way, your job will take off like a rocket, and you'll be bliss and heavy every day. Okay? Anything else before we conclude this evening's Bhagavad Gita class? Everybody ready to dive into the unlimited nectar of the name? Become an empowered spiritual revolutionary to turn the world upside down? Everybody ready? Do it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Guru Premanandi.
Jai.